talk about the joy of obedience to God. Let's go to, excuse me, I have to get back to my page. Deuteronomy 28:1-6. Sometimes when you think of the joy of being obedient to God, you might ask your question, how is this going to be? How is this so? When the Lord tell me, sometimes he doesn't always tell us to do the things that we want to do. But, you know, in the end, if we could look at the end results, we're going to find that there's much joy and happiness. Deuteronomy 28, we'll start at verse 1.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field.
Can you stop there just a minute? Notice that he said all of these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. You don't even have to try to muster it up. God is going to give these blessings to us. And these, in one scripture says, the Lord, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. So he's going to bless us, and there's not going to be any sorrow to it. Now, sometimes we can have some things in this life that we thought was going to, we'll be very happy when we first get it. And then afterwards, it turns sour, so to speak. Something happened, but not so with the Lord. So these blessings are going to overtake us. He's just going to pour them on us. You know, God is so gracious. He not only he tells us what to do, but it's really for our good. A lot of times we don't realize that. We think we got it planned out and mapped out, but God knows things we don't know. Continue, read, please.
Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out.
Okay, stop. You can stop right there. We're going to be blessed in our bodies. We're going to be blessed in the things that we have, like if we are a farmer and we have cattle and whatever, we're going to be blessed. We're going to be blessed in so many ways just by obeying the voice of the Lord. Let's go to Romans now, 6:16-17.
Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourself service to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sins unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants, ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you.
So you see, when we obey the Lord from the heart, the Lord is there, and it produces righteousness. Obeying the Lord, obedience to him, produces righteousness. And when we live righteous, before we were obeying sin, but now we forsake sin, and we go obey righteousness, and God gives us peace and assurance. Let's go to Proverbs 21 and 15.
It says, it is joy to the just to do judgment, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity.
It's joy to the just to do just judgment. If you do the right thing, it's going to bring joy to you. Sometimes I find out when you have children, they sometimes feel like they've got things a certain way. You tell them, don't do that. And they feel like, oh, no, I must do it. Or they just go and do it anyway. And then they get in trouble. That's the way we are if we don't obey the Lord. But it's joy. If they could only know the joy and peace of following the directions of their parents. Sometimes they don't understand it. And they just want to do it their way. For instance, you tell a little child, you know, they're very curious. Don't touch that. It seems like that's the very thing they want to touch. Don't touch the stove. They want to touch it. Or you see them a lot of times, they love these little plugs, and they'll get like a little something, and they want to put it in there. You say, don't do that. You know what? Sometimes they won't. You can't stop them. I mean, you can stop them, but sometimes they're so curious. When you're not looking, they try it. They might get a little spark, and that's what they recognize then. But if only they could have known that just doing what you tell them to do is joy in it, is safety in it. Don't go out in the street. Don't, I told this before. You see how that little gravel road right there going to the side of the church? When our yard, we had something like that. And my mother said, Doris, don't jump rope in the driveway. For whatever reason, I just couldn't not just obey that. I could, but I just went out there just jumping rope, just like she said, go do it. And I fell. And I hit my head. I have a little mark right now over my eye. And oh, it's bleeding. And I'm running and I'm crying and I'm all of this. And she takes me in the bathroom and she washes it and says, obedience is greater than sacrifice. But if I could have just not even allowed myself to do it, she said, don't do it. But sometimes the children feel like they got to do the very thing you don't want them to do. They do. But you know what, though? I really learned a life lesson that has stayed with me all these years. And so the same way with the Lord. Sometimes we just feel like we got to do our way. But you know what? There's no joy and no peace in that. If we do it God's way, it's going to be joy and peace. Let's go to Isaiah 32 and 17. So, if we obey the Lord and live righteously, as he said, we're going to have joy. We're going to have peace. We're going to have assurance. We're going to live in such a beautiful life. Life will be beautiful for us.
And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever.
How did we get this work of righteousness? We get it by obeying God. If we obey God, he's going to work righteousness in us, and we're going to have the peace and the assurance forever. Didn't that say forever? What did it say?
In a quiet resting place.
We know that we will have this peace that we need. Sometimes you might work with people and they say, All I want is peace. But they don't feel that peace because they're not following God. They're not obeying the voice of God. If you obey the voice of God, you'll get peace. You say you want peace, but you're constantly doing life your way, and you'll never get it that way. Leviticus 26, read verses 3 through 6. We will never get peace going our way. And some children are strong-willed. I talk about children because I do love children, and I deal with them a lot. They're strong-willed. That strong-willed child feels like they got it all in their mind how things ought to go. But it's like you're constantly butting heads with them. Don't do this, and don't do that, and don't do the other. But if we obey God, we won't have that. We'll be submissive to Him, and we'll go His way, and we'll be the most happy person. Those people like that are not happy. They're miserable because they're always hitting their head up against a strong stone wall, so to speak.
If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full, and dwell in your land safely. And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land.
Did you notice that? All the things that God will give us just for being obedient and following His voice, He will bless us. He'll bless. We don't have to be afraid. You know, when you lay down at night, you'll be at peace. You don't have to be afraid. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen to me. What if somebody break in? All these kind of things. Because you're obeying God. You can rest. You can relax. And you can be assured that He is going to take care of you. You know, it's a blessing to be able to lay down at night and not have all those worries, but there are people that can't. They're always worried about, you know, maybe got two or three locks on their door and worried about somebody breaking in or doing things. But if they were on, the simple solution to that is obey God. Do what He says to. Follow His way. And then you can rest at night and be at peace. Psalms 119, 165.
Great peace have they who love thy law, and nothing shall offend them.
You notice that? How do we know we're obeying God? Because His law tells us. If we obey the word of God, we're obeying God. And that brings peace. It's very important for us. If you say, well, I don't know what the Lord wants me to do. Pick up the word of God. Read the word. The word tells us what God wants us to do. And He gives us not just a little peace, great peace. And there's one scripture says something about the abundance of peace. We want to live at peace. It's a miserable life if we don't live at peace. So the person that is obedient to God, they live in the sunshine, so to speak. You ever been around someone that almost everything they say is negative? It looks like they look at life in negative ways. They always bring out the bad part of somebody, or they it's just, oh. And right now, during this time, when there's election coming up, there's a lot of negativity people talk about, you know. This one is doing that, and the other one is, I'm for this one, or I'm for that one, and all of these things. But, you know, when we live obedient to God, we don't have to be like that. We can live in the sunshine every single day. Even if it's cloudy or raining outside, we can have sunshine in our lives, in our hearts. Psalms 37, let's read verses 3 through 6. I like sunshine. I like positive things. I don't even feel comfortable being around somebody that's always grumbling and complaining and talking negative about people or things. I don't like to be around it. If I could get from around it, I would prefer that. But I like the sunshine.
Yes.
Somebody, she likes cloudy days. But, you know, I don't like cloudy days. I like sunshine. I mean, some people like that. They like the rain. They like the cloud. I guess they say, you know, they can relax and all like that. That's for them. But for me, give me sunshine. You give me sunshine all the time, and I'll be happy. I think that's why I like Florida and Honduras so much. Because it's so much sunshine. Yeah. We can have that. God wants us to be happy people, though. Even if it is cloudy and raining outside, we don't have to be cloudy. We can be sunny. We can be have a smile on our face. We can have a positive outlook on life. Let's be encouraged to follow the Lord. Only way we're going to be able to have that is to be obedient to the Lord. When we start doing things our way and having to have things the way we think they are, we're going to be miserable people all the time. Everybody crossing you and you can't get along with this, that, and the other one. We don't want that. You know, when we live for God and obey Him, we don't have to live like that. Did anybody get Psalms 37?
Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed.
All the way to 6.
Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday.
You know, the highest part of the day is the noonday. That's when the sun is straight up over us. That's when everything is at its peak, at its brightest. And so if we delight ourselves in the Lord, he'll even give us the desires of our heart. You want some things from God? Obey him. Delight yourself in the Lord. He's going to give you the desires of your heart. I talked to my daughter that passed, Becky, one day after my husband passed. She says, Mom, she said, what would you like to have? I said, Becky, I have been given everything I wanted. When I was a young lady, I wanted to have a family. I'm that kind of person. The Lord gave me that. I said, I would like to have 12 children. The Lord gave me that. He gave me a home. Things that are the kind of home I wanted, he gave me that. So when I look back, I have been given the things I want. So if we delight, but I remember before those days, my mother would say to me, Doris, the scripture says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And she says, so you did the first part. In other words, the Lord will provide the rest. And he did. And so if we delight ourselves in the Lord, obeying him and pleasing him, he will give us the desires of our heart. Somebody read Job 11. 14 to 18.
If iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacle. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast, and shalt not fear. Because thou shalt forget thy misery, and remember it as waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday, thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning. And be secure, because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest.
See what you're going to do? If you put away iniquity, which is sin and wrong, and you live for God, all these blessings are going to be, you'll have hope. Some of the reason that people feel hopeless is because they're not doing what God wants them to do. They're trying to take this way or that way. Problems arise and they don't know what to do. They'll drink alcohol to forget their troubles or take drugs and everything. And these things are carrying them down. But if we will put away iniquity and live like God would help us to live, we'll be like the sunshine. We can be sunshine for other people. Do you know that people that are feel like they don't have any hope, if we have hope in the Lord, we'll be a light for them and an opportunity to show them that if you trust God and you live for God and you walk in his ways, you'll be happy. Matthew 13:43.
Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear.
The righteous shall shine forth as the sun. You know, the Lord wants us to be a light and a ray of hope. And if we live right, this is what we'll be able to do. This is what we can help others to do. Let's go to Proverbs 29:8.
Scornful men bring a city into a snare, but wise men turn away wrath.
I probably got the wrong one. We'll just let that. I want to read this song. It's number 96. And in fact, I think we ought to sing the first verse.
96?
Mm-hmm, but I'm going to read the first verse first. Who but the Christian is happy and free, filled with the glory of God? None in creation so happy as he, washed and redeemed in the wonderful blood. Jesus, the one whom my sorrow has healed, thou art the one whom my spirit has sealed. Only thy glory from heaven reveal, only thy favor can happiness yield. If we obey God, we can be happy. Let's sing that song right now.
Who but the Christian is happy and free, filled with the glory of God. Not in creation so happy as he, washed and redeemed in the wonderful blood. Jesus, the one of my sorrows hath healed, thou art the one in my spirit hath sealed. Only thy glory from heaven revealed, only thy favor can happiness heal. Who but the ransom can ever rejoice over the billows of time? Grace all abounding and hope's gentle voice, glad in their spirits that never repine. Jesus, the one whom my sorrows hath healed, thou art the one whom my spirit hath sealed. Only thy glory from heaven revealed, only thy favor can happiness heal.
So we see that if you live for the Lord, you're going to be a happy people. And I'm so thankful for this privilege But there's another side to this. I was thinking about the enemy tries to make us feel like obedience to God is a boy's meat type thing. It's like hard and I can't do it. But he's a lie. He's a lie. He wants you to not do it because he wants to destroy you. And so the flesh, it rebels against God. And it will lead to a life of unhappiness and misery. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15 and 19.
If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable.
Do you understand that? If that's the only hope we have in this life, so you see, when we obey the Lord, our hope spans beyond this life. And it spans into eternity. But if only we have hope right here in this life, we're of all men most miserable. When we do not obey the voice of the Lord, we live a miserable life. Isaiah 1, 18 to 20.
Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.
You see, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. You'll be like land. You'll be like the happy people that's happy and free and living in the sunshine. And yet, if you refuse and you rebel, then you're going to be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. We don't want to be devoured with the sword. I want us to read a little bit about Saul, King Saul. He had a hard time doing what God wanted him to do. He was given a command, and he didn't do it God's way. He did it his way. And in doing that, he lived a miserable life. 15 and 1, let's read from, I don't know how much of this we're going to read, but start at 15, what, I mean, chapter 15, verse 1, First Samuel. So we need to, sometimes we can profit by looking at the failures of others, looking how others did certain things. If they did what God wanted them to do, we can see such a radiance, such a blessing, such sunshine radiating out in their lives. But on the other hand, if we look at those that disobey God, we see a different picture. And we don't like to have to dwell in that, but it's a reality. So start the first one so we could get what he was told to do.
Samuel said also to Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way, when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together, and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 footmen, and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid wait in the valley. And Saul said unto the Kenites, go, depart, get out, get you down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them, for ye showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites, and Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until it cometh up to shore that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword.
Read 9.
But Saul and his people spared Agag, and the best of the sheep, and of the oxen, and of the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, they destroyed utterly.
Actually, go on to 11.
Then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when you want to go on?
No. So you see what happened? God told him to utterly destroy everything. But when he went there, they didn't do it. He didn't destroy the king. He took him alive. He only destroyed everything was bad. So in other words, if an animal had, say, a broken leg or something, he would destroy all those. There weren't no good. But the good ones, he kept it. All the animals, everything that was good, he kept. But everything that was bad, he destroyed. And he destroyed the people. But he did not do what God told him to do. And so God was sad that he made him king because he was disobedient. And so the next day when Samuel came to Saul, read 13.
And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord.
Okay, stop just a minute. Did he? He did it his way. He did not do what God said the way he wanted to do. And then Samuel asked him, well, what meanest thou this bleeding of the sheep in mine ear and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Then go down to 15.
And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest of them are destroyed.
Okay, now he's making an excuse. And he said to the people, he was the king. He was the king. Those people couldn't do that unless he allowed them or told them to do it. But he said the people. So he took it off of himself. And he said, the people, but the Lord gave him the command. He was the one responsible person. So then, go down to verse 22.
And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken
and read all the way to 31.
For rebellion is as sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and hath also rejected thee from being king. He hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, and the words, and thy words, because I feared the people, and obeyed their voice. Now therefore I pray thee, pardon my sin, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with thee, for thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord hath rejected thee from being king over Israel.
Okay, so God has rejected him. But now he begins to enter into a life of misery. And so as Samuel, read always 31.
And as Samuel turned about to go away, he laid hold upon the skirt of his mantle and rent it. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord hath rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and have given it to a neighbor of thine that is better than thou. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor repent, for he is not a man that he should repent. And then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me not, I pray thee, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and turn again with me, that I may worship the Lord thy God. So Samuel turned again after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord.
He was so concerned about the people. If you'll notice, he said, I've sinned. He didn't say that until he just got, I mean, Samuel had to just hold steady and let him know that he was doing wrong. Then he said, I've sinned. And then what he wanted was really to be looked up to among the people. So he said, go with me and honor me now before the people. What a sad and a miserable life. And if you follow the life of Saul, he died in a sad state. He was miserable. He spent his time, God had left him, and he spent running after David. He knew that David would probably be the next king. God had given the kingdom to David. And he tried to destroy David time and time again. You know, if we disobey God, we will live in a miserable life. We don't have to, though, because it's all up to us. It's a choice. We got to make that choice. Let's go to Joshua 24:15. We have to choose. If we want to live and be happy and have all the blessings of God, we must choose to go God's way.
Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord.
We have to choose. We have a choice. God is not going to make any of us live for him, and he's not going to make us obey. Sometimes we make the children obey. We punish them, we spank them, we do all these kind of things to make them obey, but God is not going to do that. He's going to give us an opportunity to choose to live for him, to obey him. Jeremiah 42:5-6. You know, it's a serious thing to obey God. It's a choice, but it's serious. It's a serious choice we make. We're making a choice for happiness, life, prosperity. I don't mean that we're going to be rich. We may be the poorest person around, but we'll be rich in our souls if we live for God, if we choose his way. But if we don't choose his way, we're choosing misery. We're choosing a life of destruction.
Then they said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God, to whom we send thee, that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God.
Yes. So it will be well with us. We choose that, and it will be well with us if we obey the voice of the Lord our God. So I want to encourage us to choose this day whom you will serve. Choose to serve God. Choose to obey God. He's not going to force us like we do try to force our children sometimes to do the right thing. But God's not going to do that. So let us choose to follow him. In Mark 10 and 29 and 30, and Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that has left house or brethren or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or land for my sake and for the gospel, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and land with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life." So we're choosing. When we choose God's way, we're going to be blessed in this life, and in the world to come, we're going to have eternal life. Pray for me.